Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
First Thessalonians 5:23-25. Do we have it? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray that God, your whole soul, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 24. For faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. Next verse. Brethren, pray for us. I title this message, Faithful is he who has called us. Let me preach to your neighbor, Faithful is he who has called you. He will do it. He will do it. I perceive that we are in a critical state. Vote your conscience. Very important. There is something that the Lord, it's a divine technology that the Lord institutes. And it is one of the non-verbal communication modes that the Holy Spirit uses to speak to us. And that is in this particular chapter, verse 23. Say, the God of peace, what does he do? He sanctifies you completely. This technology called peace is one of the things that the Lord uses to guide us. Sometimes you are not hearing voices, but in the midst of the storm, you just have peace that is with you. And most times, it is not really turn left or turn right that you need to hear. What you need is to be sure that he is still with you. When he is with you, he will guide you. When you are following your Google map, and Pastor Ayo was saying something about this a few months ago, you know, when you miss your turning, then you will see on the Google map, reroute. So some of you are in a reroute season now, where you need to be recalibrated, and a second plan, a plan B, needs to be initiated to bring you back to the will of God. But there's another thing I need you to understand when you are using your Google map, is that sometimes you may be more than 500 meters away from the next turning, and you notice that for a long time, the map is quiet. Who knows what I'm talking about? Then you become apprehensive that, oh God, you are not talking. Is it my internet? You try to press. No. Just get used to the silence. I know it can be agitating. It can be unsettling. When you are facing a challenge in your family and you really would have just preferred the Lord to say something now. Anytime God is not speaking through clear words, watch out for the non-verbal communications. And when we come to prophetic school, we are going to be talking a lot about the non-verbal communications, like the inner witness, perception, peace. Inward witness. He said, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray that your whole spirit, you see the flow of that transaction. The flow of peace is initiated and commences its activity in your spirit and ends in your body. Look at it there. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. That means if the ministry of peace is not in your life, the chances that you will abort you were bought cheap is very high. There's a case for divine election. There's also a case for works. Well, in my class, just before our graduation, in my own class, I graduated with the highest GPA of 4.32. But the lady behind me, I call her the master crammer. She's very good at cramming. She told me it's my gift. She does it well. Though sometimes she gets into the exam and everything muddles up. But it's her gift. So she had 4.0 on the dot. Now you can't do a PhD with anything below 4 points in Nigeria. But while we were convocating, there was an award for my class. But I didn't get it. It went to her as the best student. And everybody was like, huh? Are you not? I said, look at it. Best student. Then I bracket female. I was best female, best student, best graduating student, male female in my class. But she was the person who gave that award was a woman. It's part of what we are talking about. It's a monetary gift. By now, my tithe today now should be heavy. But, so when she came to me after, she said, "I'm master." I said, "No, you are blessed." I said, "I know." I said, "Like this is supposed to be for you." I said, "No." You, they needed a woman and you are the one. So it's not. It's election. Election does not consider who is number one. It considers who God is interested in. And I say, God is interested in you. I say, God is interested in you. You have to believe it. Really, when I think about it, the girl needed the honor more than I did. She has a master's degree. She drives an, what's that? That truck. No, not a truck. This machine that they drive on a construction site. Forklift. This girl is just 25, 26. But because she could not beg. Are you with me now? Some of you have excuses. She uses an iPhone 12. Of course, it's a gift from her brother. But she uses an iPhone 12. But she's not too proud to dig and walk. She needed that honor more than I did. Forklift, like, Mr. Gwinga, where you are saying fine? I say, what's this noise? Say, Mohan, the machine, you know, I'm beside the machine. And you see those, you know, those yellow, very big, just this small girl. Those are the people who should be celebrating in our country. Not people whose statuses are always in clubs or eat fine eateries. I'm too certain you didn't pay for that food. You should be ashamed of yourself if you have to put your account number on your status and you're asking and you are begging. But it seems to be a trend. You will not get peace this way. Today's my birthday. Can give me gift. Can give me. This is also my account number. We are not giving you anything. Go and work. Say, the God of peace. Don't celebrate it. You know, people have turned me to motivational speaker. No problem. But I will continue shouting. One day you people will realize that madman was actually not mad. Say, the God of peace will preserve you. It means that many, when I visit my friend and he begins to share some of his... This is my brother that is behind my brother. I'm not seeing you in this country. Are you here or you're on your way out? Because I'm not seeing you here. Who knows him? It's your brother. I'm not seeing him here. Where are you from? What? I know. I'm saying, are you planning to leave or you've left? Where are you going to? Mauritius. Because I saw you. You are not here. Okay. I'll see you after now. Even the so-called Mauritius is not his final stop. Anyway, but... Now, if you make it to Mauritius, you should be happy. You can't be... You can't... So, it's not a country for poor people. Well, it's okay. I have TikTok. I can't. My TikTok, I look for good countries on TikTok. Not people with the spirit of Salome. I look for people... All right. The very God of peace sanctifies. What does peace, what is his function? He sanctifies, he purifies, he takes every intention, every purpose, every consideration. Oh, should I go, should I stay? He purifies it till the will of God is the only item standing in that equation. So you need, how do I, and when we come from prophetic school, I will teach you about the prophetic mind. There's something that is called the prophetic mind. Huh. People will not tell you this because it's OJ. But I will tell you, because people are nice to me. The prophetic mind. This scripture works by the prophetic mind. The God of peace sanctifies, separates, isolates every intention. People are talking to you, but the ministry of peace in your spirit, in your heart, will be set. As they are talking, it's isolating. No, no, no. Remove this one. Remove this one. Take this one. It doesn't make any sense how you arrived at that conclusion, except that your heart is, your spirit is guiding you. If you stand up in a meeting and say, we should not go in this direction, you don't have any evidence. How is it that the God of peace administers his will through this seemingly despised instrument? Your mind, your soul was designed to synthesize information put into your spirit so that your body can align and cooperate with what God is saying. After man fell, your mind developed a heart of his own. Your mind became wayward. Your mind despised the counsels of God. The reason why you can be sharing the word of God with somebody every day, and the person is not hearing you, is looking for something else. There are people that send me messages, they call and no. And when I talk to them, I say, you need to give your life to Christ. They stop calling me. It's giving your life to Christ is still a thing. It's still a thing. You have called me and I've told you the solution to your problem is to accept Jesus into your life. You are angry with me because they told you I am a prophet. Why are you telling me what I already know? And I asked you, did I collect money from you? You say, no. Why are you angry at me? Is your money in my hand? You say, did I charge you? Do you have my account number? I say, no. I say, why are you? I say, give your life to Christ. So that all this battle can end. He says, he's angry at me. See vision. I say, I don't control the vision. You are desperate. You will be exposed. It is the God of peace. That means I must be in a tranquil state in my soul so that every other thought and imagination becomes silent. Silent before I say, keep quiet, O mountains, before me. So that the people can renew their strength. We were looking at that scripture yesterday. in Isaiah 40, verse 1. 41:1. Some of all this confusion, should I rent an office? Should I marry? Should I? Listen, one of the most powerful tools that I've learned over the last few years, and I'm still learning when it comes to discerning the voice of God, is how to weaponize the tool of patience. I have learned considerably how to weaponize the tool of patience, because I have learned that everything seen and unseen is spirit. Are you with me now? So, and every spirit has character. Character. So if I expose any idea or thought to the instrument of patience, the true nature will emerge. Pastor, why are we not doing it? I say, wait. Pastor, why are we not doing it? I say, wait. Why are not doing it? I say, that's what I'm looking for. We are not going there. The fruit of the Spirit are important because they can be weaponized. Oh my God. Are you with me, sir? They can be what? Weaponized for accuracy. You can hear something, but do you know the Spirit? You have to test it to be sure. And God is saying one of the instruments for determining His will is the peace that He gives you. But it is not the peace as the world gives. But we confuse that peace because we just want to have some respite. When Pastor Ayo called me and said, look, I saw a promotion list in your office and you are not promoted. It was bad news, but it came with peace. God is the only one that I know that can share bad news. And you'll be saying, okay. Okay, thank you, sir. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. He will be telling you, so you will marry this year. You say, okay. You wait it. You wait till June next year. Say, okay. No, if that, I thank you, Father. I give you all the glory. I don't know how he does it. Listen. You must learn how to use the fruit of the Spirit in such a way to determine authenticity and accuracy, and in some level, timing. When you begin to apply the rule of patience, you begin to see, okay, first the blade, then the ear, then the full blown. So you are observing that in your life, you've gone through this phase. You are now here. You can say, okay, this is where I am in my life spiritually. This is where I am. Knowing where you are in your life helps you understand the kind of warfare you are going through. There are some of the battles you will go through. The devil needs you to be destabilized. So there will be mental battles, mental warfare. You may have money in your pocket, you will not be able to sleep. The devil will want to disorganize you so that you will not be able to pray. You will not be able to study the word. You will just be tattered inside. What is God's solution to that? He said, peace. He described himself as the God of peace. So don't search for peace. Search for the God of peace. You cannot isolate the two. You may be getting a false peace simply because you want to have some respite. And God is saying, look, what you are looking for is not missing. Now, for you to operate the prophetic mind, don't worry, when you come to prayer school, I will repeat this symbol. Just behave like you've heard it. Like you haven't heard it. It is important for you to have a healthy mind and emotion. These two are significant because they determine to a large extent how we perceive what is going on around us. How we feel about it. So I need to take my emotions and pray my emotions into a particular state where it is obedient to the word of God, regardless of how I feel. I need to take my mind and pray in a certain way so that I can expunge negative information that has been put into it by painful experiences, by things I've heard, by conversations I've heard. I use my prayer like a skilled carpenter using his plier or a screwdriver. In the name of Jesus, I expunge every negative confession spoken into my heart, spoken into my soul, every negative emotion, every trigger. I begin to pray in a specific way. Every feeling and thought and premonition that I have, making it difficult for me to be able to believe God consistently and to live a stable Christian life. I begin to pray, not shouting fire, but like a skilled mechanic, using my plier, or like a surgeon, trying to isolate a particular tissue and then touch another one. So you are praying like a master skilled man. And I'm praying in that particular way, even when you are driving or when you're on the road, I isolate every emotion that is not mine, but is resident in my soul. I isolate it in the name of Jesus. I decapitate it. I take it out of my soul. And I enlarge the capacity of my mind to receive the word of the Lord and to be obedient to the faith. You need healthy mind and healthy emotions. Because if you don't deal with, especially with these two items, when the peace of God comes, many times you will feel it like an emotion. But if your emotions are unstable, you will now have the challenge of trying to determine, are these emotions from me or from the Lord? And then you could stay 3 weeks again battling that one. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect were not given to you primarily to be looking for, oh, I just want to visit some fun places before I die. This is the 11th country I'm visiting. I'm currently in Sierra Leone. Oga, what you are looking for, you will find. Your mind is not meant to primarily capture fun places. It is to be able to determine what the will of God is per time and to align, because until your mind aligns, your life will not go in that direction. If your mind does not align, even though God is saying it and you are saying yes, 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 your life, your mind is where the certificate will be issued, where the intention will be agreed upon. Until God's agreement and covenant comes into your mind, your soul, there is no agreement. So you need a healthy emotion and healthy mind. And many of us are not healthy as it were in these areas because of previous painful experiences. This scripture says, my time is up. Faithful is he who has called us, who also will what? Who also will what? Who also will do it? So what is the character of God in this regard? He is what? Faithful. Key points on faithfulness. Number one, faithfulness is a weapon. Numbers chapter 12 from verse 1 to 7. Faithfulness is a weapon. God was faithful to Moses in spite of the opposition against him, because Moses answered the call of God and was faithful to his caller. Number two, God keeps covenant from the position of faithfulness. When God says, I will preserve you and you will not die, it has become a covenant between you and him. So every time God defends you, it is from that position of faithfulness, because he has a covenant with you. So when he says, faithful is he who has called you, the word faithfulness denotes that God has committed himself to that encounter. And if he fails, he is not fit to be God. Are you here now? Come on, are you here? Okay, you cannot undo much. I'll just give you two more. In 1 Samuel 2:35, The Lord looks, give me 1 Samuel 2:35. The Lord has, even though he is faithful, he also looks for faithfulness as a character in those he commits himself to. Look at this scripture, 1 Samuel 2:35. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to all that is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. God looks for faithfulness in those that he wants to do something unique with their lives. This is very important. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 47, number 5, the point number 5, God rewards faithfulness with rulership. Listen to me. God rewards faithfulness with what? Rulership. He said he has been faithful in little, let him rule over much. How many did I give you? 5 talents. What do you have? I have 10 now. Okay, profit of 5. Give him rule over how many cities? Did God give him rulership over 5? God gave him rulership over his investment plus his productivity. God gave him rulership over 10, not 5. God rewards faithfulness with what? Rulership. When you are faithful to God, first in your relationship with him, on a personal level, and as a servant of God. And when I say servant of God, I don't mean pastor, I mean every one of us. Every one of us here, we are servants of God. When you are faithful in these two areas, the Lord proves that faithfulness by giving you dominion and rulership in certain areas. Finally, for want of time, point number 6. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. Let's read this one. Luke 16. Now look at this one. This is where we are going to fight. If therefore you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon. Hello, what is the unrighteous mammon? They are quiet. Oh. I say, what is the unrighteous mammon? Look at this scripture. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, if therefore you have not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, talking about money. Hello, are you seeing that? Who will commit to your trust? The true riches. Do you realize that when God makes you rich, he's actually committing to your trust. It's not your money. If you've ever worked as a bank teller, in those days when I was in the bank, when we resume in the morning, you give every teller like 500,000 or 250. I don't know what they do now, but like 500,000. They say counter limit. You know, so you 500, you 250. Some you give them more money because they are very strong tellers. They can undo big transactions. So we give them money. Is the money their own? Is the deposit you made yesterday that they gathered together and gave him to attend to other customers? So when he has that money, the riches has been committed to his trust. So what the HOP or head of operation is doing at the end of the day is to watch out. Why is it that this brother always has balancing issues? It doesn't balance. He's always having shortage. Always having issues. One issue, they're posting error, you know. So they begin to observe that this guy, if we elevate him, he will fail. That's the meaning of this scripture. So it's not like, oh, God doesn't like my face. No. It's not face we are looking at. We are looking at capacity. He said, if you are not faithful, if you forget about tithe, forget about tithe. Tithe is Old Testament. Forget about it. Forget about tithe. Somebody said, my Catholic friend said, I prefer to use my money to be helping less privileged people. I laughed. I said, give unto Caesar. You see, that one is your Christian duty. This one is not just duty. It's covenant. I said, moreover, last month, how many less privileged people did you give money to? I said, Oga, stop deceiving yourself. Eat your money. Don't help any poor person again. Eat it. If anybody says you should share your money, break his neck. That's why your neck is long, like Angulu. You will not understand this. If the 10% you give is peppering you, if that 90% that is left will not be enough, then give the 10. You don't understand? That what you have 100,000, you give 10,000 as your as honor and worship to God, and you are complaining that the 90,000 is not enough. Okay, if we add that 10,000 back, will it be enough? He said, no, okay, so pay your tithe. Don't worry, don't argue, just pay it first. Then we'll come later and we'll talk about it. The Lord assesses what we do with our money. When somebody does not, when somebody has a standing order on his Netflix subscription, and it's not even 2.6, it's 4.4 per month. Even if you are hungry and you are dying, then we must renew that subscription. With internet, you see, it's with internet, your own internet that you use your money to pay for. So MTN is making money, everybody is making money except you. Say there's one film now, it's Money Heist. Bro, it's not the Netflix you are paying for that is the problem. God is looking at your relationship with money. Unfortunately, when God observes, he doesn't talk. 4.4 times 10 months, 44,800. 44,000. Okay. Yeah, so that's like about 50,000 a year in savings that you threw away. Why didn't you come to me? Okay, 4.4 Abi, let's contribute. We'll be sharing the account. But you cannot do it because you are proud. If I three of us come together and we combine, maybe we are paying 1,005. Create each of different accounts and we are happy in the Lord. But no, that pride, that no, I do 4.4. As if it's your father that started the company. Then you now come to church. Say it's offering time. Say worship time. Offering time is not blessing time, it's worship time. Hallelujah. Praise God. The moment you see the brother dipping his hand into his pocket and brings it out like this. Come on, do you understand? Who has done this before? I've done it. Don't worry, I got you. If you put your hand into your pocket like this, say offering time, because Tobe is beside you. You don't want to fall your hand. You now, that is, I will praise you, O God, and shout hallelujah. I'll render to you. Then the person singing say, it's not only about the money. You can dance. They not say, this brother. Koniman. He's not yet dancing. Dancing because he has 200 naira. I said, even Satan said that he laughed. Say, Michael, don't be this boy. Say, they do prayer. Say, he won't lend money to nation. I say, yes. The guy said, no, even if he borrow you one time. Now, 200, the guy carry come church you. Satan, I'm in Jamaica. Say, I begin laugh. Say, well. We are still trying to educate these people, you know, sometimes. You see, it's not the money you give. It's the relationship you have with money that I'm talking about. If you take pride in going to Tobechukwu and say, can we go out for a date? We'll have lunch at, mention one, Casablanca, Lampana, somewhere. And you are not going to tell Tobe to enter bus now. No, it's true now. Even me, I cannot ask you to enter bus. Then if all those, they are, this thing will not tear you. No. Say, Tobe, you know what? We are doing rider. Now on the Jeep. We do rider. I say, okay, we are currently out. You'll be changing your voice like somebody that is on malaria treatment. Say, Because you just want to impress her. You get to Lekki, say, this John was quite some distance, you know. I'm like, okay, 5-5. Okay, well, it's on my card. It's on my card. We never spend money, 6,000, don't go. Thank God that she's a Christian. She will be pitying you. If I'm her brother, I'll tell her, point to this one. Your relationship with money is very important. You see, God will not talk. This is one area I know God and Satan refuse to talk. Because they know this is where many people with prophecy will be trapped. Many people with prophecy, this is where they will be trapped. Let me say this. You may not like it. If you are stuck financially, go and start tithing. I rest my case. But this is what Jesus said. Whether you call it tithing, call it 20%, call it 40%, call it anything. Jesus said, if your relationship with money is stronger than his relationship with you, heavens will not approve for true riches. Sometimes you need to stop praying and ask yourself, what are we not doing right? It may not be in the aspect of the prayer. It may be in another area of obedience. Your giving is one way you say to God, money will not stand between me and you. And whether you give or not, you will give somewhere. You will give somewhere. I encourage you. When you read this Bible, don't select the part you will obey. Some people say it's Old Testament. It was Jesus speaking here. That God checks and he rewards our faithfulness in terms of our relationship with money. See, if you say you don't have money, I agree. You are right. Go back home. Take one of your best shoes. The one that you bought for 25,000. Some people will not hear me again now. They are switched off. I said, go home. Clean all your shoes. Because some of your shoes, they have accumulated dust. So I will permit you, take rag. Or you come to me. I have some rag at my boot. There, I'll give you one. Go home. Clean all the shoes. Some of them are still very fine. Bring it. That will be your offering next Sunday. Then me, I will be looking for whose leg. Go home. Go and bring that shirt. Because you know you've not really been wearing it. So no problem. We are together. This, when you go older, it's not shirt you buy. You are taking care of children. Nobody will abuse you and say, oh God, you are not. Don't you know? The school fees I paid this month, all my years in nursery, primary, university, including strike, my parents never paid that amount at like the old program. That is what I paid for. When I finished paying, I got home, I could not eat. I sat younger, I don't know, I'm not. I just sat down, I was mesmerized. And then the woman could say, still remaining 57,000. I said, which one is that one again? So it's not time for you to be wearing clothes. We are sponsoring, with our children will they take care of now. Join me, let us serve God. If you have a friend who always struggles with supporting the work of God or helping orphanages or, you know, as a form of worship, helping less privileged, not the one that you carry mic, come and tell us. Those are very dangerous people because association can affect you. It can close the heavens. My friend, one of my very good friends, he's a disciple of Daddy Freeze. Every time you'll be abusing Daddy Freeze, Meanwhile, he's partially blind. But he's my friend. So I wonder, and I said to him, don't you think that you should allow this Jesus help you? Because your situation now, that the priest is not here, I'm the one here with you. The guy now said, it's true. It's true. I said, at least you know I'm a pastor. Mm-hmm. Do you see me living like the people that the priest is talking about? He said, you are different. I said, I'm not different. Those people you are abusing, they are my fathers. I said, calm down. I said, when you give someone a microphone, they say what they like. When you go into their house, you will realize all of us, we are eating eba. We are eating akpu. We are not eating party rice. How many of you have eaten swallow recently without meat or fish? So what are you talking about? Just because you have a microphone does not give you the right to say what you like. So I'm telling you, don't judge me. I'm just a messenger. Look at the message. It says, if you have not been faithful, that means you have been checked over a period of time. Come on, are you here now? You have been checked. So there is no mistake. Nobody's accusing you wrongly. You have been checked. The moment Satan says, don't give that money, double it. That's how to break the yoke of greed. Do you understand? It's a deliberate thing. Nobody can force you to do it. It's your, even now, some people, no matter what I say, they are online now. They are not here. They won't listen. There was a man that was blind in one eye, and he was standing in the prayer line. Papa again prayed for the first person. The man got healed instantly. He prayed for that man. The man did not get healed. He was going again, say, come back. He prayed for him again. He did not. Then, say, Lord, what's happening? People were already rejoicing over this testimony. This brother has a similar problem. It's not it. The Lord told him, this man is a thief. He asked the man, do you tithe? He said, no. Will you commit to tithe? He says, come back. Pray for him. His eyes opened. Papa Egino. Don't be deceived. You can tithe. Even your business can tithe. Your business is a legal entity. It can tithe. One man cannot be president. The man is sick. He's not deceived. The man bought land for church. Many churches, not even one. He gave his wife to do pastor. You now say he will not be there. You say, Tinkana. He's a Cornelius. Say, Miloko. You can verify all you like. It doesn't matter. Sacrifice can disqualify the qualified and put the crown on a man that is not qualified. Sacrifice. When I was heading, I was standing for my boss. We'll close here. Faithfulness. This is the last point on faithfulness. My boss went on leave and handed over the branch to me. Then some of the staff members came to me. Mr. Gwenga, we are so happy. Now that you are here, there will be peace in this office. There will be peace in this office. Thank God, his name is O. O has gone. How many weeks? I said 3 weeks. Say, you are very nice. You always play with us. I said, what? Who is playing with who? Mark Bear, wow. I didn't get to do it. I think bad way. They were just psyching me. I said, my boss called me. He said, don't play with them. Oh. My boss called me. He said, see me new. Don't play with these people. They wanted me to be nice. If I, one of them said before my boss, when are you going? We are waiting for Gwenga to take over. My boss was angry. I beg. He was angry. Now, what kind of insolence is this? She got fired. Faithfulness, not only in, say you are spiritual, you are praying, you are paying tithe, and your attitude is bad. You are the one that conspire with other staff against your boss. They give you 1,500 naira and you have a change of 70 naira. You cannot return change of 70 naira. Because after all, it's 70 naira. Is it your money? The thief. Come on, am I preaching here? See. God looks at faithfulness in small things. Sir, the thing you sent me, I have 17 now. Don't worry. Keep it. Don't assume on top of my another man's money. Sir, I just assumed that since it's 17 now. What was it? Is it your money? Do you have 17 now? Faithfulness in relation to spiritual authority. Don't greet people. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Behind us. Don't mind, very useless. What does he have that I don't have? Especially women. They are very good in that one. See, because I'm just respecting her. Don't respect, we'll sack you. One of my boss was my age mate. And I even seen that with months. It was later I discovered. But I used to go and sit down in our office. We'd just be gisting. She was very nice. So Milori, very nice. And she's a socialite, you know. Her husband has one of these big betting companies in Nigeria. Her husband. I won't mention the name. She told me, I'll give you a super license. Do you want? I said, I don't have money. She said, don't worry. Do you want it? She invited me to house in Lekki. Boy, when I see us, I say, we are not all brethren, no. We are just coming to the same office. Some people don't need this job. They don't need it. Big woman, but she's married to a very wealthy man. But I never took that for granted. Madam. But I was older than her. Even now, years after she has left, I still cannot call her by her first name. And I'm older. Faithfulness to relationship. When you love somebody, be faithful to them. Die there, but be faithful. Because faithful is also the one who has called you. And when it's time for him to lift you, your record of faithfulness must be there. The Lord will help us. Let's rise on our feet. I want you to receive the grace for faithfulness. I want you to repent if you need to repent. And I want you to ask the Lord for grace to be faithful in all your ways, spiritually, in your relationship with God, in your prayer time, in your communion time.